Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Wow, great to see you, 8 a.m. Good to be back. Did you miss me? Did you miss Beck more? Thought so. As can stay, bring back Beck. Hey, it's really great to be back. 3 weeks we just spent in the U.S. of A. And what a time to go to America, hey? Trump almost gets shot. Man. You kind of go, this is not real. I don't know what it's like here back in Australia, but over there, it's like, this cannot be real. Like, all the stuff that was unfolding, crazy times over in the States at the moment. The reason Beck and I actually went was to go to a pastor's conference in Alabama with about 4,000 pastors from all over the world. And I felt for the lead pastor, Chris Hodges, because the opening night, they had a storm that blacked out their entire conference. And so imagine 4,000 people rocking up and there's no power. And he's like, I thought, well, hey, it happens to everyone, right? And he's like, well, see you later. You know, we'll come back tomorrow. So we kind of fit it in over a couple of days and not three or four. But it's really good to be back. And over the last 3 weeks, I do want to say that God has really inspired me, has stirred my heart again. I know as your pastor, you know, you want to bring something fresh every week. But sometimes you can't even just get to a point where you're like, what next, God? What is it that's next? And there's been a few things that have stirred in my heart over the last 3 weeks that I want to share today with you as a church. But also, before I go any further, there's a real stirring in my heart for the men of the house. I got to tell you, there's a passion and a fire in my belly for the men in this church to capture the things of God like never before. And in a couple of weeks' time, we got men's camp. And men, understand this, you are under spiritual attack to not get there. Satan wants you not to go. He is doing everything he can to stop you from going to that camp. I know it full well in my spirit. We've got 30 guys registered so far. I believe God wants 50 of you there. And today is the last day you can register, okay? This is going to be a time where I believe God wants me to share some stuff with the men that I've learned over the last 3 weeks from some different churches. Beck and I traveled everywhere from LA right through to San Diego, Atlanta, and Alabama. And while we were there, we visited a stack of churches. And one of the things that I was really interested in was actually seeing what God was doing amongst men. And one morning, I got really blown away where I went to a prayer meeting at 5:30 in the morning. There was 150 men there praying passionately for their families. And I went, I was repentant because I was like, God, I am a lazy man when it comes to getting out of bed and putting you first. I mean, I just found myself just in awe of the men who were saying, you know what, I don't care about my sleep, I care about my family, I care about God, what God wants for my family, and I'll do whatever it takes to get here and put them first and pray fervently. And so that's just part of some of the stuff. So men, get to camp, don't rob yourself of what God wants to do. Find a way to get there. I'm just going to put it out there, and we're going to get into this word for today. Is that good? Some of you men are like, oh my gosh, he's right. Okay, go and register today. And we know that all things work, all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I'll read it again. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, one of Paul's most famous passages of scripture. Anyone got it written in their house somewhere? Back of a toilet door? Like, I mean, this is big time, right? Scripture that's been around for a very, very long time. Well, it's been the same as the rest of the Bible, I suppose. But the point is, you're like, he's come back doctrinally correct. But it's one of those hype scriptures, isn't it? Josiah has, right? Yeah, you do more Bible college than me. That's good. But it's a great promise no matter what, isn't it? This idea that God works together all things for good for those who love him. This idea that God is on the move. And I got to say that over the last 3 weeks, I've just been really reminded that God actually does work all things together for good. He's always on the move. He's always moving, going before us, setting things up, arranging things, switching things around. When you're going through a time of hell, he can move things, shift things, restore things. He is an active and living God that we follow. This is not a religion, an idea of maybe there's something in the sky that will help me, but a God that has your best in mind. And so the scripture continues in Romans 8. It says this, if God is for us, who can be against us?
who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us.
8 a.m., it's a tough one.
And how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, this is the truth. It's the word of God. You know, sometimes we can forget that God is for us, not against us. He wants us to overcome some things. You're going through hell this week. Anyone had a tough week? None of you. Revival in Australia. Everyone's like, man, we're cruising. But I suggest that a lot of you have gone through stuff. We've been talking to you on the phone since we've even been home. People are going through stuff. And sometimes it feels like God's against. God is for you, not against you. And he has a plan for your life. And I just want you to know that God is on the move. He is working. The last 3 weeks have been such an interesting time for me in just pursuing the things of God. We weren't going to go to America until about 6 weeks ago. It kind of came out of nowhere. And we went, yes, we'll go. And then it all happened very quickly to the point we weren't very organized. We knew where we wanted to go, but we didn't actually have a very structured itinerary. To the point we had one night's accommodation booked. The Sunday we left, Beck's like, no, there was more. Officially, we knew where we were going to go. We roughly knew where we were going to stay. We had friends in Atlanta, all sorts of stuff. But reality is, when we got on the plane to LA, 14 hours of sitting and thinking, we went, we know where we're staying when we arrive. We know where we need to go, but we have no idea how to get there. Now, you got to understand, I actually really like that kind of feeling. Like, I love adventure. I'm like, who knows where we'll end up, you know? Whereas Beck, that kills her. Like, she is like she is so organized. And I said, well, just, babe, it's going to be fine. We'll figure it out. And I reckon for 14 hours, I mean, I slept like a baby going. Beck was probably stressed for the 14 hours. I don't know what you did, but I was sleeping. And so we arrived in LA. And I got to say, before even we left, on the Sunday, someone came to Beck and said, now tell me you've booked a car in LA. You need to book a car because you're going to go to San Diego. You need a car. And they are always out of cars. And Beck goes, no, we haven't booked a car. So she's stressing about that. I said, babe, it'll be fine. And the thing is, I'm just like, you know, God will figure it out. It's gonna be fine. And so we arrived and we had our first day in LA. We had to get to San Diego. We figured out we'd get a train. So we went to San Diego. And the reason we went down there was to check out this church called Awaken Church with Yoga Matisseus. They have this men's prayer that goes on and I had to check it out. And so at 4:30 the next morning, caught an Uber to this church. And I thought, I wonder if I'm going to be the only guy there, an Australian and the pastor. Like, I genuinely didn't believe that men got up that early to pray, right? And then 150 of them rock up. And I was like just blown away. And I'm standing there. And the guy who's leading the prayer meeting literally goes around, starts going around asking questions of all the men. And he goes, I never do this, but for some reason I'm going to do this today. So he goes and asks everyone, you know, what's going on. And he gets to me, he goes, why are you here? And he goes, where are you from? I go, Australia. Everyone looks around like, why are you here? I said, I just wanted to check this out. I've heard about the men praying. It's real. And he goes, right. And then you just tell everyone in the room, like, why is there an Australian here? And is this, you know, this is weird. And so, incredible, ended up praying with a bunch of guys I've never met. And some of these guys actually had prophetic word about the church building that we're going to have, which is like, you know, like when people have no idea about anything in your life, I believe God's just calling your church to a building and I see this building and it's got, and I'm like, go on. Where's the money come from? I just believe, I just see it. Anyway, so I'm like there getting, receiving prayer, and I'm like, man, this is cool. So I kind of wrap up. This is about 7 a.m. All the men are off to work, and the guy who runs the prayer meeting comes and goes, y'all from Australia? I said, yeah. He goes, how'd you get here this morning? I said, an Uber, 45 minutes. And he goes, 45 minutes? He goes, like, we're downtown San Diego. We probably should have done more research. And he goes, you need a car, man. You need a car. And I said, no, it's cool. He goes, how long are you here for? I said, a week. He goes, you need a car. You need a car. And I said, no, it's fine. He goes, wait there. So he goes off, and 5 minutes later, he comes back. He goes, I don't know why, but God told me I got to give you my car for the week. He goes, you got to go pick up my Tesla. And I'm like, blessed. So I'm sitting there going, this can't be real. There I am. Yeah. So this is true. So I go, you don't know me. We've talked for 5 minutes. God told me to give you my Tesla. And I said, I've never driven a Tesla. And he goes, you'll figure it out. And I said, I've never driven on the wrong side of the road. He goes, you'll figure it out. So I go to him, well, where is he? He goes, oh, it's at my chiropractic office. He runs a chiro. He goes, just go tell my secretary to take the blue Tesla out the back. The key's in the car. And I go, you serious? He's like, yeah. So I called an Uber. I'm YouTubing how to drive a Tesla. Literally, I taught myself in half an hour. It was great. And so then I called Beck. I said, by the way, we got a Tesla. She goes, what? I said, yeah, God gave us a car for the week. And so I'm like, this is great. So we're driving seven lanes, highways in LA, and almost dying every day. And on the opposite side of the road. And man, those Teslas go fast. And but anyway, so I was just like blown away. I'm like, God, you know exactly what I need. And I thought, how amazing is this? And my first, I think just coming back from here, church, I want to challenge us to do something. Let go of control and give it to God. Like, imagine if you could just walk in every day, like, God's got it. Like, we were kind of in a situation where we knew some stuff, but we weren't holding on so dearly. And I'm like, we just saved a week's worth of car hire. We got this really cool car that actually I found out at the end of the week, the pastor, when I dropped it off, he goes, did you use autopilot? Did you just put on autopilot? I said, no. And he goes, oh, man, my wife, she scares me with autopilot. She never drives. She puts it on autopilot. He goes, I drove past her the other day. She was in the car with my kids doing her makeup, eating a burrito, and it was driving itself. And he goes, I pulled her up and said, give me the kids. Like, you're not. He said, but they're really cool. You should just put it on autopilot. I'm like, man, I don't even trust myself on these roads. And so Luke 12, 25, 31. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. You know what I love about this last little passage? But seek his kingdom first. It was on my coffee cup this morning. God just, you know, whoever wrote that in the cafe, thank you, prophetic. Okay, that's amazing. You just talked about my word today. I just love the fact that before we left, we had no car, but God provided a car. I saw some incredible things, and we drove around sort of just going, this is crazy. And I was reminded of a scripture, Proverbs 19:21, that I think we can all take on board this week. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Like, we could have planned everything, but God's gone, no, I just want to show you what you need to say. You know, 3 weeks driving on the wrong side of the road was pretty fun. But in that 3 weeks too, I can tell you about all the good things, but I've got to tell you that God is working through every situation. And on one of the days, actually, we got to the OC and we got really sick. Like, we got COVID, like, sick. Anyone had COVID in the last 3 weeks? I heard a lot of people in church have had COVID. Okay, now you're all looking at each other going, you better not have COVID, right? No one tells you you had COVID, you know. But we were sick. I mean, we got sick. Yeah, I know, John. Give us a hug after, you'll see what happens. No, I'm joking. I've never been such a super spreader in my life, I think. So we got really sick as well. So we're having a great time in the States. God's doing amazing things. We're seeing incredible things. Feels like all these meetings just line up, just falls into place. And we're like, wow, that's so just the hand of God on that. But then we get sick in the mix of it. Like, we got really, really sick to the point where we end up, yeah, in the OC before we have to head off to Atlanta. And we're staying in a hotel. And I know that Beck really wanted to go down and see stuff from the OC, right? She's like, we're here for 1 hour. I want to see the OC. Anyone watch the OC when you were younger? Oh, Danny. All right, yeah. And so I'm like, I can't even get out of bed. We end up sleeping in like 24 hours of just pure sickness. And we have one more sort of half day. And I feel really bad because I was so sick and couldn't take Beck into town or anything. So I said, we'll just get an Uber just into one portion of it and just at least see a little bit. And so we went in there and I'm like feeling really bad because I'm like, God, it would have been really nice to see this whole area. But if we get an Uber, it's going to cost a fortune. We want to be stewards of money. We don't want to waste money. And so I genuinely was like having this thought process, even saying to Beck, maybe we need to get an Uber because we're here once. Like, we need to see it. And we're just walking up the street. And literally, as we're walking, talking about this, a bus pulls up right in front of us. Like, it's at bus stop. And it says free shuttle throughout the OC. And I go, what's this? Oh, it takes us all over the OC for the weekend. It's free. Do you want to get on? And so God just provided us a way to see the OC for free. And I got on this bus and we get on and we sit down and the lady who's bus driving is cranking worship music because it's on. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, right? So we have our own church service on a bus at the OC. This lady, actually, as she dropped off, she had to switch over bus driver. The next guy gets on and goes, you having a rave here? And with all this worship music, he turned it down anyway. But I just go, God knows. Like, God sees. And he's kind. And I think we sometimes forget to actually identify that God is working in our lives every single day and every little moment and every little step, and it's beautiful. And maybe we need to come back to just opening our spiritual eyes to seeing that God goes before us. He's for us, not against us. And he has great things for us. Let go of control and give God the keys. Give him the wheel. God loves you more than you can imagine. The second thing I learned on this trip is just learn to be content in all circumstances. Genuinely learn to be content. Like, whatever gets thrown your way, smile, nod, and just accept that that is what it is, right? Because who knows, we can complain about a lot of stuff. If you're a Karen in the room, I'm sorry they used your name like this, but don't be a Karen, right? I feel sad for people that get, you know, like, I feel sorry for my mum because they called that little thing a Lazy Susan, you know, on the table in the 80s. I'm like, how dare you use my mum's name like that, you know? But a Karen, don't be a Karen. Anyway, it's interesting, as Christians, we can be so entitled, can't we? We'd be so entitled to get what we want. But actually, Paul talks about learning to be content in all things and allowing yourself just to go with the flow, allowing God just to do what he needs to do. And, you know, through this trip, I just learned so much about this. I mean, Paul writes in Philippians 4, 11 to 13, it says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether being well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Can I tell you, there's some moments in our trip that things just didn't go to plan, and it's just like devastating for Beck. Like, for instance, the shops were shut on Sunday. She couldn't shop. I was saying, thank you, Jesus. He loves me more. Anyone know? He's got to be content with what the Lord opens and shuts. But there were these moments on the trip. That's true, actually. I felt so bad for Beck. Beck was looking at this set of shops for the whole week. We're in a conference every day. She goes, I really want to visit those shops. They're so cute. I could buy all sorts of things in there. I'm like, on Sunday, we'll go. I had no idea they were going to be shut. We rocked up and Beck says, they're all shut. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, you know. I really am. Fun online. Anyway, but there's moments, hey, where God just, you've got to learn to be content. I actually think God wants to bless us in the way that we treat people and don't react to certain, and can actually just flow and just go with God each day. When we arrived, you know, our check-in for our hotel was wrong in our final check-in, and the concierge goes, I'm going to give you some gift vouchers to use at the bar. You know, you get some drinks or whatever. So he gives me $36 worth of vouchers. I go, well, that's really nice. You know, I don't care. That's fine. Thank you. And so we actually went to this bar for a bit of food one evening. And we get there and we're sitting there watching some Olympics in the background. Nothing. We never saw any Australians compete. All we saw was the Americans. Okay. And it makes sense. The only time we saw the Australians compete was when the American commentator, these are our arch nemesis. Will we beat them in the pool? And we're like, no, you won't. And so, but we went to this hotel bar on this one night, and we ordered a drink and a sort of entree thing, and we were sitting there and we were having chats with the waitress and the waiter, and they're really nice, and we're having these chats and all sorts of stuff. And then we said, well, what do you recommend? We might as well stay for dinner. So we'll order a meal, a mains order. And as you know, I'm a bit of a foodie, like my food. And so what's the best thing having here? And they all said the same thing. They said, you've got to have the pork. Got to have the pork. Who would choose the pork? Anyone in the pork? Okay. One of you, the rest of you are like, that's a heathen food. Anyway, so thank God for Jesus and post-Old Testament. And so, so they're all talking up this meal, like major talking up the meal. And I love this stuff. And I'm like, put it in. We're going to order that meal. And so about an hour goes by and I'm like, we haven't got our food. So I just say, do you want to, is that meal? And the waitress goes, yeah, that's a bit weird. So she goes out back and she comes back with her waiter mate. And they both look at us and they go, y'all, we sorry about something. Oh. And they were like, we got to tell you some bad news. And they go, we don't have any pork. And I said, you only found out like an hour? Like you have been looking for an hour? For anyway, so we're sitting there laughing. We're like, really? And we said, that's okay. And it's so amazing just by being content. You know, these are simple things in life. We said, that's okay, that's fine, don't worry about it. And they go, you're not going to be mad at us? No. You're not going to yell at us? No. Y'all, you understand that people are swearing at us now. And I go, no, not us. And they just went, you are the nicest people we've ever met. And they said, order anything off the menu and you can have it on us. And I go, I spent a bit less, cheaper steak. I thought, I don't want to be like that. So I chose the cheaper steak. No, you're going to have the best steak. So they get the best steak. And they go, we're putting dessert on there, the best dessert. Then we're going to give you free drinks, the free drinks. Anyway, so we're just all sitting there going, happy days. Like, I don't even really like pork, but whatever. You just, so it was great. And so We're eating like kings, right? Like kings and queens. And they're all telling us how lovely we are. We all suppose we are. And so we're just sitting there. And then the chef comes out. He goes, I'm so sorry about the pork situation. He goes, I'll tell you what, you're here tomorrow night? And we're like, yeah, we're here. I'm going to do that for free tomorrow night. That's all covered for you tomorrow. And I'm like, the Lord blesseth. Because I've been hearing you are the nicest people. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. You should. We are the nicest people you'll ever meet, right? So in the end, Beck and I had a laugh. We ended up spending $17 for something that should have cost us over $300. And I went, God, you're so good. But really, it just came down to just being nice and being content. And sometimes I think we miss these moments, don't we? No, how dare you? I've waited. And, you know, like, isn't this a way that we should love people, you know, the best we can? Final thing I want to share that happened in the trip. 3 weeks, we were non-stop traveling and visiting churches, went to the conference. It was hectic. And the week of the conference, the last week, I was really stressed about preaching today, to be honest. Because I'm like, what am I going to preach on? I've got no time to just go and spend time with God to figure out what God wants to say to the church. And so on the Tuesday night, before the first, actually it was the first night of conference they canceled. But that night, I actually said to God, God, would you just give me what to preach to church, because I don't know what to do, and I know that time's going to run out. I get back, and I'm going to be running hard. And so I went to sleep, and I had the most vivid dream I've ever had. And the vivid dream was me preparing my preach, because I was rushed to prepare a preach. Like, I'm like, this is super weird. And so God drops in my spirit the prayer of Jabez. Now, this is, I actually screenshotted it, because I woke up, you can see at the top there, that's 3:48 a.m. in the morning, okay? I screenshotted it, because I didn't even know where it was in the Bible, because I haven't heard this preached in over a decade. Like, over a decade, I have not heard about the man named Jabez. He was very popular in 2014, okay? And then it sort of, he disappeared. And so this prayer of Jabez popped into my spirit so clear as day. God said, I want you to share the prayer of Jabez with Beacon Church when you get home. So this is what the prayer of Jabez says, if you've never read this. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free, from pain. And God granted his request. I woke up, I'd taken the screenshot at 3:30, whatever it was, 3:38. Clear as day, God wants me to preach this. And I said to God in the morning, I said, God, why do you want me to preach this message? Like, what is it about this prayer of Jabez? I don't really understand. I haven't heard it preached in over a decade. This is a very interesting thing. And God sort of said to me, he said, as what's happening in this trip, because he kept reminding me of the blessings, the flow of the blessings that were happening in our life. He's like, as often people say to you, oh, you and Beck, you're blessed. Of course that happened to you, okay? In fact, when we got home, my mother-in-law had been staying at a house and she had a towel. She put up hashtag blessed. She always jokes about it. You're blessed, of course that happens to you. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, not everyone in your church knows that same blessing is available to them. Share this with your church. Understand this, Jabez's name meant cursed because of the suffering and pain through childbirth. His entire life, he was told, you are cursed by his name. You are reminded every day that you are a curse to your mother. And God said, hey, but Jabez didn't hold on. He didn't believe the lie. Instead, he took the opportunity to pray and said, God, would you bless me? Would you bless me? And I think so many of us, we can either take the victim mentality in our life or we can choose to believe that God is for us, not against us. But Jabez actually didn't allow the curse of his name to stop him receiving the blessing of God. He stood up and started to pray this prayer. And as a result, God, it says, granted him his request. He didn't sit in his wallow in pity. He didn't allow his life to be cursed, but he went after the blessing that God had for him. He prayed, God bless him. Enlarge my territory. May my life get bigger and larger. May I be able to have greater influence and impact. May God's hand be upon him. You know, God's right hand in the scripture is all about having God's blessing with him everywhere you go. I always say, God, may your hand be resting upon me. You know, Nehemiah, before he built the wall again, it said the gracious hand of God was upon him and the king granted Nehemiah the request to rebuild something that had nothing to do with him. You want the right hand of God upon you. So Nehemiah prays these prayers and as a result, he is blessed. So I'm meditating on this scripture and I'm like, okay, this is so interesting that we can shift our thinking and God can actually bless each and every one of us. Imagine if Beacon Church, every day of your life, you woke up knowing that God was for you, not against you. You don't have to worry about what happens today because he's already going before you. And he, even if your life is going through hell, is in the background working together all things for good. Satan's having a go. He's going, I'm working on it. Leave it with me. Trust me. Rest in me. God loves you, you know. If you've never heard that, God loves you and he has his best for you. You're not a victim. You're a son of the king or a daughter of the king. You have access to him. It's only when we make our life and our own experiences and everything we're doing, life only goes badly when we decide we want to take control. I will be God of my life. You are a terrible God. You will make a terrible God and you will make mistakes. Let go and give it to God. I want to say this today. God restored Jabez's life, blessed him abundantly. And God can restore your life today and bless you abundantly. In fact, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on your behalf, to forgive your sin and your brokenness, to restore you back to the Father. And today, I'm actually going to give every one of us an opportunity just to get right with God again. But while we do this, we're actually going to take communion. So I'm going to get the guys with the communion cups. If they can come, we can get the band come as well. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, you're still going, of course that happened to Az and Beck. That's just Az and Beck. No, that can be you as well. In fact, it's available to every person that chooses Jesus. Every person. But it will mean laying down your life for Jesus. Letting him show up and show off in your life. Hey, while we're receiving these communion cups, I want to put it out there. And I want us just to just sit and reflect on your own life right now. If you're sitting there today and you're going, I feel like everything always goes wrong in my life. And I feel like God hates me and I feel like I'm the victim. Can I say to you today, come back to Jesus, surrender your life, give it to Jesus.
Trust that God has good things for you, that he wants to restore the things broken in your life, that he can work together things for good that have tried to destroy you. If you've never actually received Jesus before, it's the greatest decision you ever make. Jesus loves you so much. He died for you. He rose again. He took the punishment of sin, which was death, for you. Romans 10, 9 to 11, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. I just want everyone to bow their heads right now. If you haven't got your cup or bread yet, you can obviously stay with your eyes open. I'll say it again, and I think some of you need to hear this really clearly. Jesus loves you. He's for you, not against you. I'm going to say it again. Jesus loves you. He's for you, not against you. Jesus loves you. He's for you and not against you. Hey, Jesus loves you. He's for you and not against you. And he wants to turn your life around. But you have to put him in charge of your life, and you need to let go of control and trust him daily that he has what's best for you. If you know you need to repent, you know you need to come back to Jesus, I just want you to lift up your hand wherever you're at. Yep, see that hand down the front, it's amazing. Yeah, I see that, man. It's great, on the left-hand side, it's great. Any other people, just go, I just need to come back to Jesus. I just want to get refreshed. I want to believe the truth that God can actually turn everything around. That's, yeah, I see your hand. Awesome, young lady, that's unreal. Is there anyone else here today that just wants to pray with me? That prayer, God, come into my heart, I'm sorry. With those three, I'm just going to pray this, all right? Pray this prayer. We're going to pray this out loud. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you died and rose again. You took my sin on the cross, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. Help me be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is for the rest of us today. We're going to take communion. The reality is communion is a reminder for the rest of us what Jesus has done. Hey, holding in your hand right now is a juice that represents the blood of Jesus was shed for you. Why are we drinking this? Because Jesus loves you and he's for you, not against you. He came on a rescue mission for you to set you free, to have a life and life abundant. And we remember this when we drink the blood. We remember what Jesus did on the cross. When we eat that bread, we remember what Jesus went through, the punishment he went through, his body torn and broken, ripped apart. The pain that he went through was a representation of his sheer love for us, that we wouldn't have to go through the same pain. We have the band sing, "Oh, Praise the Name." In a moment, we're all going to sing it together, and we're also going to take communion together. But I just want to share one final thing before we get there. The prayer of Jabez, God revealed to me on the Tuesday morning of this conference, or Tuesday evening, sorry. I still was wrestling on. I'm like, God, are you sure? Prayer of Jabez. We wrap up this conference with 4,000 pastors, and the guy who's heading up the entire conference, Chris Hodges, comes out and says, "Hey, I'm going to wrap up this conference and I'm going to pray a prayer I haven't prayed in a long time, but I love this prayer. It's the prayer of Jabez." And I looked at Beck and went, "Yes." Because I told her I'm going to talk about prayer of Jabez. She goes, "What? What do you mean?" I said, "I can't explain it yet." And God revealed, he said, "That's what you're going to pray." So I'm going to pray this over each and every one of us. I want everyone to stand. I'm going to pray this for our church. I'm going to pray this for you individually. Receive it with faith. It says that God granted Jabez his request because he prayed it. And so I'm going to pray it for us. Oh, that you should bless us and enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm so that we will be free from pain. Jesus, we thank you for this prayer.
God, I pray that this week as we go out and we worship, we take communion and remember what you did for us, God, we will be reminded that you are for us, not against us. God, that you love us, that you go before us. God, that you are constantly working together, all things for good for those who love you. And God, we love you. So we can trust you. We don't have to be anxious about tomorrow because, God, you've got it in your hands. We can flow. We can walk into whatever you have for us, trusting that, God, you've already done what needs to be done. God, I pray that as a church, we'll be free of the fear of tomorrow, but embrace it knowing that you are already there. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.